You know, this is one of my favorite Christmas decorations. We get it out every year. It's right by our Christmas tree, and I've talked about it every week, and I'm just kind of using it as an example because we're preparing for Christmas as we look at Advent. Advent means coming. That's what the word means. Christ came. And this was in our family. We got this when Emily was young. She's now a mother of three, so we've had this for a minute. And every Christmas, this would be right by our tree, and we'd get the Bible out before we'd open presents, read Luke 2, and just talk about how the best gift, the reason we give gifts, is because Christ came. God gave us the gift of his Son. In Advent, that's kind of the historic message of Advent because, and we've been looking at this. Now, if you have your Bibles, we're in Luke chapter 2. So let's turn there. We're kind of digging into this story of the shepherds. You might go, Chris, didn't you preach on this last week? Yes, but there's great value in looking deeply at the Word of God and considering aspects of the Word of God. That's Advent. Because at Advent, it's the message of hope. That we looked at that the first week. Christ gives us the gift of hope. The second aspect of Advent, Christ brings peace. He gives us the gift of peace. And this morning, we're going to look at joy. That's a gift at Advent. And now let's remember as we are digging into Luke chapter 2 and kind of processing the story of the shepherds, but let's not forget that God has used Luke, a doctor, and this is an eyewitness account. So he's interviewing people as he's writing this gospel, and he's likely talking probably to Mary, and maybe he said to Mary, hey, Mary, I get one of those shepherds. Let's talk to them too. And this is an eyewitness account. Luke 1:2 says that just as those from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, having delivered them to us. So Luke is the context of Luke 2, which is something we read all the time. Let's not forget that this is rooted in eyewitness accounts of Christ. Now, we're going to stick with the shepherds here. Look at Luke 2. Look at verses 10 and 11. Let's stand in honor of God's word. This is something we do as we embrace the word of God. And we've read this essentially for the last 3 weeks. But verses 10 and 11 speak, I think, to joy, this gift that God gives us. And let's look at it. Verse 10. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you, born this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this is the word of the Lord. Thank you so much. You may be seated. Now, keep your Bibles open to Luke 2 because you see the gift of Advent. Christ brings hope to the hopeless. We looked at that the very first week. Hope to the hopeless. Christ brings peace to the helpless. That we can actually have peace with God because of what Christ did. A Savior came. And this morning, joy to a heart. Now, joy that's an interesting word, isn't it? Because we think we know what it means, but it's one of those words that when you really sit down and someone says, define joy, you go, well, maybe you think joy's like this. I got a little video that's a little joke. I don't need no light to see you shine. Doesn't that make you feel joyful? Right there watching a little puppy run. I don't know whose puppy that is. I didn't film my puppy because my dog's a knothead. This week we had people over to our house and my dog, as soon as someone knocks at the door, she flips out. Nellie is a lab and she took off running towards the door, hit carpet, slid and smashed her face right into the wall. And I'm like, and she's limping for 2 days. I'm like, I'm not taking you to the vet. You'll get over it. But you know, that's joyful, the puppy. But is that really joy? When the Bible describes joy, it reveals something so much deeper than just this frolicking puppy. And you know, Advent reveals a joy that in all honesty, it is so deep, it can't be squelched by the worst of trials or the most difficult of moments. One of the things that you see in the life of God's people is that there is an ability to have joy even in suffering, even in difficulty. Now, today, as we process joy, there's like we did last week, we looked at three words last week of rescue, of favor, of security. And this morning, we're going to have three words again, different words, to help us understand joy. And the first word is promises. Say this with me. Ready? Promises. You see, when the Bible, let's look at the text. Verse 10, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Let's think about this. Good news, and promises. Do you realize that there is joy at Advent, at the coming of Christ? Do you know why? Because God keeps every promise that he makes. I want you to think about that. God keeps every promise that he makes. And this right here, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people, for unto you this day in the city of David a Savior is born, Christ the Lord. Let's not miss that this is not just information, it's a revelation of God that is rooted and grounded in a promise that God made. Let's just consider one of them. 750 years before Jesus entered the world, before this moment. And Luke is interviewing these guys, and they're looking back going, whoa. Hey, remember, 750 years ago, Isaiah wrote Isaiah 9, verse 2, that says, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, light has shone on them. And imagine the shepherds, they're out in the field and light shines around them and says, look, it's today. Today a Savior was born. And in this divine plan from the beginning of time, God came into the earth, entered the world, a world that was living in darkness, not knowing where to go. And let's think about the Jews at this time. It was a burden. They were under bondage. They were struggling. But let's not miss. We've sung a song, not today, but the last 2 weeks, we sang this old hymn, our old Christmas song, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. You know why? Jesus was expected. Because the prophet said he's going to come. And let's not miss the fact that though a lot of God's people missed him, a lot of them didn't. The shepherds didn't miss him this day. Those that were in the law, they should have known this. Simeon, we know his story. He was expecting Jesus to come, the Messiah to come. Anna was expecting. Let's not miss that many people that understood the law, understood the prophets, were fully expecting it's the time of the Messiah. The Messiah's coming. And then Jesus entered the world. And this expected announcement, it was not just information, it was revelation. And you know what? The promises of God, that God met his people in a time of difficulty to reveal a Savior had come. The promises of God produce joy. And we see this. And remember, and this is why Advent is important. And let's connect it to the joy in our hearts, because Advent speaks to the joy of God keeping his promises. And let's just feel this. God keeps every promise he makes. And this is what Advent did. And you know, my go-to, my wrestling with this is, is the Psalm 77, the Psalm 13 pattern. Psalm 13, Psalm 77, you see this. It's an interesting revelation of Scripture, how the promises of God produce joy. Psalm 13 is from David, and it's a short psalm. It's only five verses, or seven verses, and it's pretty, or six, I think. I'm just going from memory. So I think it's six, five and six of Psalm 13 is this moment of David, and he's in a really tough spot. And then Psalm 77 is interesting. It's a psalm of Asaph. We don't know much about Asaph. He was one of David's music ministers, and I guarantee you the guy could play, because David was an incredible musician, and he's not going to employ or deploy a music guy that's not any good. So you know that Asaph is a player. And so these two guys write these psalms that are fascinating. They are in both, when they write these, are in very difficult situations. David says in Psalm 13, he says something to the effect of, God, I think you've forgotten me. Whoa. Asaph, at the beginning of his psalm's a little longer, and he, in the first nine verses of his psalm, he says things like, God, I think your promises have failed. And I remember when I first read that, I thought, golly, why would God allow that to be in his word? For David to so boldly say, God, I think you've forgotten. Or Asaph to go, God, I think you failed here. But then let's notice their pattern. You know what they start to do? They start to remember. David, verse 5 and 6, he's in a really tough spot, but he starts to remember, but I have trusted, he says, in your steadfast love. I will rejoice in your salvation. I will sing because you have been good to me. You know what he does? He's still in this really tough spot thinking, God, I think you've forgotten me, but I'm going to keep, Lord, I sing because you've been good to me. What does he remember? He remembers how God's been good to him. Asaph. He begins to then shift after verse 9 and then goes through a long list of all the things that God did through history. Now, these say a lot of things. I think when you think about it, let me just summarize it. These two psalms, you know what they point to? They point to God's big enough to handle your questions, that you can be honest with him. But it also points to the value of remembering the promises of God. Because when you start to remember God's promises, do you know what happens? Joy. You begin to, and joy is interesting, because when I think about a definition of joy, I think I skipped this. Joy is this settled confidence. It's this delight that flows from knowing God, from learning to trust in his faithfulness. Joy is resting in what God has done, resting in right now what God is doing, resting in what God will do. And you know what's interesting about joy? Do you know that joy can coexist with sadness? That in the midst of difficulty, you can know joy. That's what's happening in Psalm 13 with David. That's what's happening in Psalm 77 with Asaph. And you know what? It's rooted in the promises of God. And Advent is so very important. The Advent of joy, I mean, look at what it says. I've bring you good news of great joy. It will be for all the people, for unto you a Savior has been born, Christ the Lord. Say promises with me. Ready? promises. This is rooted in the promises of God. And when you, in your life, regardless of the circumstance that you're in, when you sit down and really contemplate the promises of God, he keeps every promise. Let me say it another way. Let me say it this way. There's not one truth proclaimed by God that will fail. Let's not miss this. That's one of the gifts at Advent. The joy is available. God's promises won't fail. Say that with me again. Ready? Promises. Promises. There's a second word. Starts with a P too. I really got this down today. Presence. Say that with me. Presence. Not only does Advent bring joy because of the promises of God, let's not miss this. Advent brings joy because of the presence of God. Look at verse 10. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you born this day in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Notice that word, behold. Look at that. Just look at it in your text. Behold. Well, what does that mean? It means to hold it. It means to look at it. It means to stop. Like when you stop and behold something, it's like the moments when I stop and behold my wife and say, you're so beautiful today. You know, God tells us to stop and behold this message, this joy at Advent. Behold this, hold it. And let's recognize let's hold it for a minute. Behold, a Savior came. God entered the world. I wasn't alive in 1961. That was 10 years before my birth. But in 1961, something significant happened in the world. Yuri Gagarin, I think that's how you say it, Gagarin. Y'all remember him? Yuri Gagarin. If you're a lot of aviation people around here, but he was the first person to go to outer space. He was Russian. And, you know, in his journey, it's interesting because Khrushchev was the head of Russia. He was the prime minister of Russia. That was an atheistic state. And Yuri Gagarin enters outer space for the first time, the first man to ever do it. And you know what he came back and he said, and Khrushchev said this, he goes, yeah, he went to outer space. He looked for God and didn't see him. Therefore, God really doesn't exist. Well, C.S. Lewis he died 2 years later. He died in 1963. But in 1961, C.S. Lewis is one of my favorite authors. He's an interesting author. He wrote the Chronicles of Narnia. He's an interesting philosopher. But he wrote an article in response to Gagarin's and Khrushchev's statement. And the article was called The Seeing Eye. And he says this. C.S. Lewis is so insightful. He says, if there is a God who created us, we cannot discover him by going up into the air. God would not relate to human beings like a man on the second floor relates to a man on the first floor. He would relate to us in this way, in the way Shakespeare relates to Hamlet. Shakespeare is the creator of Hamlet's world and the creator of Hamlet himself. Hamlet could only know about Shakespeare if Shakespeare reveals specific information about himself in the play. The only way we would know about God is if God revealed himself to us. And let's not miss the fact that a Savior came. And that's not just information, that's a revelation of God. God revealing himself to us. And I think it's so interesting to observe the arrogance of humanity that we think, oh, you know what? There is no God. How foolish that is. To think that man is so arrogant that look, God revealed himself to the world. And his presence has been not only revealed, it's experienced. And Advent is so interesting because it reveals joy. There's a joy that comes with the presence of God. And I'll be honest with you, I experienced it this week. I mean, Chad mentioned his dad, his father-in-law, Londa's dad, went to heaven. He's one of our deacons, a great man in our church. His funeral is Friday. And tomorrow at 1, Daryl Smither, his funeral is tomorrow at 1. And Daryl, many of you don't know Daryl Smither. But can I just say to you, Lonnie Williams and Daryl Smithers, we are all standing on their shoulders. We are benefiting greatly from the service of those men in this community and in this church. Daryl was injured on a mission trip with disaster relief 13 years ago and has been faithfully praying and just a joyful man despite this incredible challenge. And I look at his life and you know, in the midst of the challenges, I'm telling you, I was with his family yesterday planning the service for tomorrow. And it was joyful, oddly joyful, interestingly joyful. And you know what? I was at a deacon Christmas party Tuesday night. Daryl had died on Monday. I was kind of emotional about it. I was at the hospital Monday night with him, with his wife. And we had a busy day Tuesday getting things together, and I needed to write a sermon on joy. I needed to finish a sermon on joy. And I said to our deacons Tuesday night, I go, you know what? It's been a little heavy to write a sermon on joy today. So I didn't. I did it on Wednesday because I just was like, man, I'm just processing. But you know what I found? Getting up early Wednesday morning, feeling loss, going, Lord, I need you. In the presence of God, just help me. See, that's what happened with Advent. The presence of God entered the world. And let's not miss that God physically entered human history. Wrap your head around this. God in the flesh, God put himself into the human story. God put himself in human history. That is a huge, significant moment for us. And you know what that means? It means that salvation is near. Salvation really is near to you. In the first service, I was just saying hi to people, and Jason Hood was sitting right over here, and Jason's a member of our church, and I said, hey, man, good to see you. And he just said to me, man, I don't deserve forgiveness. I was like, me either. You realize that foot of the cross is, it's level. And guess what? Salvation is near. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, salvation is near. And this is why it's wise. And it's foolish of a Russian astronaut who died just a few years later in a plane crash to ignore the presence of God. I would challenge us to embrace this, to practice the presence of God. Practice God's presence. You know, this is something to do and something to experience. That Lord, I look to you, I turn to you. How foolish it is to recognize that God or think that God can't see you. It's kind of like when I was in 15, I was working at Vacation Bible School when I was 15, and we couldn't wear shorts to Falls Creek, and we had Falls Creek the next week. So Tracy Houston and I, Tracy was a wrestler at Moore High School and a little bit older than me. He could drive, I couldn't. And he was a terrible criminal because we decided, let's go. He said, let's go to Baptist Hospital and steal some hospital scrubs, because those were cooler and you could wear them at Falls Creek, and they looked pretty cool. I thought, oh, yeah, that's a great idea, Tracy. I should have known. Tracy also got in trouble a little bit before this because he was a wrestler. He wrestled 101 pounds, and all over more Oklahoma, he painted on the like the bridges, Tracy 101. Okay, if you're gonna do graffiti all over the town, don't put your own name on it. Okay, put somebody else's name and go, yeah, they did it. But Tracy goes, let's go steal some scrubs. We did. We get caught. Officer McDonald arrests me. And I am standing there at, telling Officer McDonald, I'm going to be a preacher. And he's like, boy, you better keep, I have a mugshot. And he goes, you better keep this mugshot, because if you're going to be, how, you were at Vacation Bible School and ended up here? I go, yeah, we couldn't wear shorts. We really, can I have these? No, you can't have them. And so, you know, I still have my mugshot in my office, because in case Officer McDonald comes to church, I'm going to say, I got it. I got my mugshot. He said, you better not lose it. But you know, it's one thing to live your life thinking God can't see you. You know how it is when you get caught and you're in trouble. Oh, no, I'm in trouble. They saw me. God always sees you. How wise it is to practice his presence. But can I tell you, the presence of God, when it comes to you, it's not like, oh, no, I got in trouble. You know what it does? It brings joy. Presence. Say that with me. Presence. Here's the last word, and then we're going to end today. When Advent came and Christ entered the world, it brought to you. It's rooted and grounded in the promises of God. It is grounded in the presence of God. But do you know what else you see it? You find joy as you interact with the people of God. People. Say that with me. People. You see, Jesus came. And look at this. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, is Christ the Lord. Now just keep your Bibles open there, because it's interesting. As you see that shepherd story play out, they realize, hey, this is for all the people, us. They went and saw him. Oh, my goodness. And they're like, oh, there he is. The Savior came. And I can imagine Luke maybe sitting with one of them going, hey, man, what was that like? Oh, man, it was for all of us. Look at verse 17. When they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. They told everybody. And we know about these guys. They were untrustworthy. They weren't admissible in court. This was the shepherds. They were kind of outcasts of society. But they were so convinced and so convincing that everybody marvels at these guys going, man, here we are 2,000 years later still talking about it, what these guys saw. And all who heard it, verse 18, wondered at what the shepherds had told them. You know what? You see joy. You experience joy at Advent because it's rooted in the promises of God. It's rooted in the people of God. Rooted in the presence of God. As I think about people, I think about Paul writing Philippians 4:4. That's a good verse to memorize. It's just it's easy to memorize. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. You know, we see God's people that have learned to rejoice in the Lord always. That's what David's doing in Psalm 13. That's what Asaph is doing in Psalm 77. He's learning to rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And, you know, this is worth writing down as we end today. Joy starts as a gift that's received. And that's where it starts. But then it becomes a discipline that you build. That's something that happens with joy. And you see it, like I'm memorizing right now, Philemon. I'm working on it. Philemon verse 1. Philemon's one chapter. I want to memorize it by the end of the year so I can say I know a whole book of the Bible. It's only one chapter. But Philemon 1 starts with Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus. And Timothy, my brother, to Philemon, our fellow worker. And I just think it's fascinating that Paul says, I'm in prison. But do you know where I am? I'm a prisoner for Christ Jesus. Huh. That is joy that is given, but it's also a discipline of joy. So let's think about that this week. Where are you today in your life? Are you really aware of the gift that Christ brought to you? The gift at Advent that Christ comes to you bringing joy. Maybe you've gotten used to your salvation. Maybe you're just kind of like going through the motions. Maybe today is a day that you're saying, Lord, like Psalm 51, Lord, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Maybe that's your prayer today. Lord, maybe that's what you need to pray today. God, would you restore a joy to me? Maybe today, as you think about your life, that there's something in your life that you're just holding on to and it's robbing you of your joy. And you're needing what God is doing today is drawing you to this moment of saying, God, I got to just come to you. I got to surrender to you. I'm holding on in my own power. You know what? Maybe today, you've not come to know Christ as your Savior. Maybe you need to be saved today. You know, we had two baptisms in the first service. Travis was a sixth grade boy that was baptized. And you know what? We were talking about it beforehand. And he goes, yeah, I'm a little nervous. I'm like, oh, Travis, your testimony is being shared today. Maybe today is a moment that you need to come to Christ like Travis did. So here's my prayer for you. I'm going to ask you to stand right now. Would you stand where you are? And you know, I'm going to have some of our staff come down front that are in the room. Our staff that's in the room, would you come down front? Keith and Christian are down front. Now, do you know this is such a loud season? You know what we're not going to do right now? We're not going to sing a big song. And Ronnie's just going to play. And I wanted you to stand because maybe you need to come and let one of our staff members pray over you. Maybe you need to come and get on your knees and say, Lord, would you restore my joy? Maybe you need to say, Lord, this is tough right now. I'm going to just sit down and remember the things you've done in my life, the things you've done in the world. You know, let's have a moment where we just kind of stop. And we don't look at our phones. Have you noticed that that's, like, it's rare for us now to just stop? Because we want to just, today, let's just stop. If you need to come and pray, Ronnie's just going to play for a little bit. You can come have somebody pray over you. Or maybe you just need to be there in a moment that's quiet. And just Let the joy of Christ, the joy of Christmas, really come to you. Would you bow your head? Our altars are open. Ronnie's going to play. Father, we bow before you this morning. And Lord, we just confess to you that the times of pause are rare, have become rare for us. And I pray, Father, that this moment would not pass us as we stop to remember your promises, Lord, that are so magnificent and clear. Father, to acknowledge your presence, though we live in a world that overlooks you, yet you have spoken so clearly that you cannot be missed. Father, we thank you and praise you for the joy of your presence. Father, for the gift of people that we get to learn from and walk with and are strengthened by. Thank you for our church. Thank you for Christmas. Truly, you entering the world is good news of great joy. I love you, Jesus. In your name, amen. Amen.